Good morning. I just want you to know what a blessing it is to be here this morning with you. And I'm not just saying that to say it, to make you think, okay, he loves us. No, I really do. You know, I love being with you. I love being here together as a church body because we get to experience God's presence in a lot of ways that a lot of people don't get to experience. And we get to be part of that. Just saying that and understanding that gives me chills, gives me the goosebumps, because you ought to understand it in this one simple understanding of if we believe why we come is because our Creator loves us so much that sent His Son to die for us. We understand that. We are in His presence right now. The one that created everything. The one that loves us beyond any other kind of love that we can ever fathom is right here with us this morning. And this is what's crazy about this too. He knows our thoughts. He knows our secrets. He knows the things that we're embarrassed to say. He knows the things in which we go, I hope nobody ever finds out this has happened. He knows those things. And you know what He does? He loves us. He not only loves us, He embraces us. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people in my life that I know I've heard them say, I love you. I know that they're there for me. But there's nobody in my life that if I told them everything that I've ever thought would go, okay, I'm still going to love you today. Right? It's just there. But our Creator and our Redeemer, He loves us beyond anything that we could ever do. He took a person, right? He took a person, and this guy became an author of a lot of the letters in which we read in the New Testament. He took a person that was after Christians. He thought his whole mission was to eradicate the earth of the way. The Christians, followers of Christ, right? And you know what God did with that person? That's right. Came along, blinded him. Oh, that doesn't sound friendly. Knocked him off his horse, right? But transformed him and gave him a mission. And then he had to go and love who? Those who he was persecuting, you know that the church did? They could have easily gone, nope, don't want you. Please don't come near me. I'm afraid of you, right? But what did they do, church? They believed that God was bigger than the things in which Paul ever did, right? And Paul came to him and said, hey, I'm a new creature in God. I am something different than I've ever been before. Can I be a part of this? Because I know God has transformed me. And you know what they did? They believed it. They believed it. You know what that is? That's the good news. And they were good newsers. We're going to talk about that today. We're going through a series called The Good News. And us, we are called to becoming the good newsers. I know it doesn't sound right. I never said I was an English teacher. All right, and if you go out here and he's like, I'm a good newser, don't do that with random people. And they're going to be like looking at you weird. And that's okay. You know, in some ways, if we were to share the gospel, guess what? We are going to be looked at weird. We are. Because the world looks at the relationships very one-sided. And I want to tell you, our view of relationship is this. We understand we find who we are in the identity of God. He created us. He loved us. He sent His Son for us. Right? It transforms us just like Saul to Paul. Right? And then that is the outpouring of every other relationship I have within this life that I live. Right? Not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not just with church functions, but with every avenue I live. And this is the part that's so difficult for us to understand and actually live in some ways. And I'm right there with you. Because reality is this. I pull into McDonald's drive-thru. I have a relationship with that speakerphone right there, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? And sometimes they can be rude and be like, what do you want, right? Chick-fil-A is a little bit different. My pleasure to serve you today, right? Is it really? I want to ask that sometimes. Is it really your pleasure? You don't know me, right? But then I'm going up to that window, and all I really care about is they take my money and they give me my Egg McMuffin, right? That's kind of the relationships we have out in this world. We have I want something from you. You want something from me. Can I get what I want so you can get what you want? Right? Do you know that God comes in and changes all that? And as a good newser, we have to learn what that looks like. I know I've preached this multiple times. I know you're probably like, okay, is there other verses in the Bible that you read? Trust me, there are, all right? But this is something I think we need to understand thoroughly before we even take in steps of being a follower of Christ. Listen, this isn't a sound weird. I think we do an excellent job. We could probably do better in some ways, but we have Sunday schools, we have Bible studies, we have small groups, we have things that help train us in what the Word says and how it says it and how we're called to live it out. This is what I think that we have. I think we have a lot of doctorates in this building. They've been to enough Sunday schools, enough Bible studies, that they know the Word. You guys know the Word. I could probably say a verse and you'd be like, I know it, but I don't know where I can find it, but I know it. I know I've heard that verse before. Not just because the pastor up here, not because of three pastors ago. I just know it. You know, and I've been through Sunday school. I've been through little kids area. I've been through the youth group, and now I'm in the adult stuff, and I got it down. I got it down. But we also want this, there's this innate hunger for the Word, right? I think we have it. And what's crazy, in the Old Testament times, they had a hunger for the Word of God too. Do you know that? In fact, they wrote it on paper that they could eat. Intentionally eat. Because they understood it, like they wanted that Word not just to be read, not to just be, they wanted it a part of them. Can you imagine if I gave you an edible Bible today? Kind of be weird, right? I mean, like, all right, read John 3:16 and let's eat that, right? And here, that's our communion today, right? Goofy. But that's what they did in the Old Testament. They would read that scripture and they take that home. And like, they didn't really have the same kind of scriptures we have today, right? Now, they had the same like verbiage and everything. It's translated the same, but they don't have the same access to what we have. Like, we can go to a bookstore. You can even order it from home. You can get this from Amazon. You can get it from places that don't agree with the Bible, but they have the Bible for sale. Right? And it's been the best seller for years. Right? And guess why that is? Because we want it. Now, some of us think within this itself has a holy power. Right? Now, if I were to drop this and like step on it, some of you would be like, okay, not my church, not my pastor. What's wrong with that guy? I kind of agree. I don't want to do that. I like reading out of it. I don't want to tear it up. But the reality is this. James talked about it. You can read all the Word, but it means absolutely nothing if you don't live it out. Right? The reality comes when the power sets in there and transforms you. Right? Think about this. We are just like Saul in a lot of ways. Comes in and transforms you to become good newsers. And we're going to talk about this. In Acts, it's really, maybe, I might have turned it off. Or the battery's dead. Yeah, go back. I'll put mine down. There we go. Hands off. All right. I'm not going to go necessarily read this all, but you can follow along. It's in Acts 19, 8 through 10. All right? And what I want to talk about is how Paul went into this church, the synagogue, right? And if you go on to the next one, he He would talk about, he was previously part of a synagogue, and he'd talk about Jesus Christ and how he is the way, right? And he argued with them for, I believe, 3 months. Argued with the church, the synagogue, about who Jesus Christ was. And this is after the resurrection. This is after everything that had happened, right? And they were, like, not happy to have him there. They didn't want anything to do with Paul, and they didn't want him to be part of their service, didn't want him to be there. So you know what he did? He decided to go to this place called the Tyannus Hall. It was a lecture hall, all right? And it's where a lot of people would go. I was great orators. They'd have these philosophers. They'd have these people, and just they'd stand up on this stage, and it was kind of a cool, like, area of, like, you could speak. Have anybody been to Red Rocks? Like, you say something, and it amplifies, right? And it's just natural. It kind of had that tone where you speak and that voice just echoed, right? And people would go and they wanted to hear you speak about life. They wanted to hear your view on life and whether they liked it or not. Guess what? He did this for 2 years. He lectured for 2 years. He went back and people were eating it up. A lot of people think that this right here for the Christians, the way of our way we are today has a lot to do with this moment. Paul infusing his life in this lecture hall and not being surrounded by just church people. In fact, reaching out to an area that they never reached out before. If you really wanted to know what a holy huddle was, look at the Old Testament and how they lived. Anybody heard that term before, holy huddle? Do you understand what that means? Football is starting. I'm excited for football. Anybody else excited for football? Right? A couple people, right? You see them huddle up, and I see some no's. No. Yeah, I get that. They huddle up before they do a play. Why? Because they're telling each other what they're going to do. And a lot of what we do sometimes as Christians is, I just said it, we have Bible studies, we have Sunday school, we have Sunday morning, we have ministry meetings, we have board meetings, we do things really well together for the most part, right? Now, I don't want you walking away this Sunday and going, Pastor doesn't like anything we do. I absolutely see the value in coming together and doing Sunday school and Bible studies, right? I absolutely see the value in that. I don't want you walking and go, are we not going to have those anymore? Absolutely we will. All right? Let me put that to rest right here before we get going. My problem is this, is that that's all our walk is that we become this holy huddle with our faith, and it's all about us getting together to feed this. Okay? And I think this, like, the reality of this, I think we all understand, for the most part, what the good news is. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He came to do what for us? Save us. He died for our sins, right? And now we are redeemed, and he is living in the resurrection, right? Death has no hold on him. Right? And the other good news is this. Who holds the keys to hell? He does. Right? Man, he's strong. He's amazing. Nothing can go against him. And I want you to understand what his death looked like, too. I think we all understand that. We've probably seen movies about it. We've seen clips about it. We've heard the stories during Easter, too. Like, his body was beaten to death for us. He had a crown of thorns on his head. Those little thorns hurt. I don't like them. These were like inch long. These were like 2 inches long, piercing his head. And I want you to understand, too, this is our Lord and Savior. He was God and he was man. He was fully God. He was fully man. He felt the pain we feel. And in the same moment, at any time, he could have said, this isn't worth it. But this is the good news. He never said those words. In fact, he did the opposite. It is completely worth it. to bear all the sins ever that's going to be created and done from past, present, and future. I will take them on, and I will be the sacrificial lamb for you alone. If you were the only person that I had to do it for, he would do it. That's God. That's the good news, right? And we learn Scripture. We understand how they did church back then. We understand how they lived. They understand how we are called to these things. I think our problem is that how we display the good news. Last week, we talked about what it means to lay the seed, right? To be a gardener, right? And I'm not a gardener. I'm not somebody that goes out and digs the yard and goes, oh, this is fun. No, right? There's some people out there that love doing that. Well, I will say this, like, if you love doing it, it means you spend time at it. It means that if you don't just throw the seeds out there and go, okay, let's see what grows. You're actually tilling the land. You're actually rounding up the soil. You're actually doing the work. You're making sure it's watered. You're making sure you're going out there daily and going, is it growing? Is it got enough water? Is it got enough sun? Is it got the things that it needs, right? I think we use the verses that we had last week as just going, okay, here's the gospel. Good luck. God's got it, right? Which is not the intention of that verse. Now listen, I think there are going to be times that people hear the Scriptures and have nothing to do with it. Or they hear it and they battle it. Or the times that come, they go, it's choked out of them because they just cannot resonate the faith with it. But I also believe if we follow along with those people, we pray for them, we love them, and guide them, and all this knowledge that we have been gaining from this point in our life, and actually use it to be good newsers in their life, right? We'll change everything. Listen, we've talked about it before. We got a lost, hurting world out there. Right? We can watch the news, we can watch all the videos, we can watch those things. And we can separate ourselves more and more and more and be really good at that. We can even promote it. Like, sin's not allowed. And I bet a lot of people will go, okay, it's safe there. I want to come. But I don't read that in Scripture. In fact, I don't think if you follow Paul, he brought the church out into a world and was debating people about who Jesus Christ was on a regular basis and winning people to Christ left and right and changing an entire country, not just city, country, to understand who Jesus Christ is. And I guarantee you, first off, I talked about Paul a couple minutes ago, right? Saul, I mean, this guy had some vigor in his life. When he felt like he had a call, he picked up that sword and went at it. And he thought his call in his early life was what? To eradicate this world of Christians. God comes in, transforms them. Now he's going, okay, my call is to get this message of who Jesus Christ out to everybody I can. And nobody's going to step in my way. Right? Do you think he did it perfect? No. Do you think it made him stop the moment he messed up? No. Listen, and I bet you he didn't really have the training we have. If you've been born and raised in the church, guess what? First off, born and raised in the church can sound so like, well, I've never really experienced the life outside of church, and I don't know what life is like without God. I want you to know, praise God. To be honest, praise God about that. Because there's so many other, if you're having to go through a world without God and you didn't have the upbringing to go through church and be part of the VBSs and to be part of those things and that wasn't part of your life, guess what? You probably have had to experience things that God never intended for you. And you've never known what true hope was until the moment you came in and you're like, okay, and you don't find just hope here. God goes out there. In fact, most of the people that get saved now, you have to go out there. Understand? And it's a lot more difficult when you're not born into this, when you don't know this. And that faith is a lot more difficult to believe. And that doubt is so much easier to resonate in many ways. Unless you have a moment like Paul. Unless you have a moment like Saul, who was the same person. He became Paul, right? And he was knocked off his butt, right? And he just, God says, I'm here and I love you despite you, right? And this is one of those moments. Now, as good newsers, I want to kind of compare this for us to understand, hey, we are not called just to be in this church building. And I started thinking about the proximity. There's going to be four P's. If you want to write notes down, there's four P's today, right? Proximity is the very first one. And I was thinking about this, and I was trying to think about in terms of for us to understand, and I almost went with church softball team versus just a regular league of softball, and I went church bowling, and it can work with any of it, right? Church bowling team versus bowling team. And what I want us to think about is, like, it's not bad necessarily to have a church bowling team. It's not bad to have a church softball team. Those things are not bad, right? But my philosophy for us, I think, in which we think about as a church, it's easier in some ways to have the church back it because it's safe. It's comfortable. I know these people. They shouldn't judge me. And I can bring my friend, maybe, as long as they don't cuss very much. I mean, if they bowl, if they're like a 280 bowler, then maybe we can handle the cussing a little bit more. Right? Right? I want to change our perspective a little bit. I think we need to understand that there's a world out there that needs us. Right? And it's not about us being anti-church bowling team. It's us going, okay, I have a mission, and I have these friends that have this bowling team, and they're not church, and they cuss, and they drink, and they're there. I need to be there and show them there's a way of life. I need to be there because I bet you some of them drink because they know when they go home it's not going to be friendly. It's not going to be fun. It's unhealthy. And they look at you and you talk glowingly about your spouse. They talk about how God has just blessed you with your spouse, right? And you hear that and they know that and they want that. And it's not to brag, but it's to go, I once was this, or the only way that this makes this work, and trust me, my wife will tell you, the only way that this makes this work half the time is prayer and God and His grace and forgiveness. Right? Two individuals come together and it's never going to be copacetic. It's never just like this. There's always going to be opinions. There's always going to be things that, right? And God comes in and heals that and makes that stronger and makes that more aware, right? And so within the idea of, like, understanding this good news, we need to be a part of the bowling team that's not just part of the church, but is filled with lost souls. And our whole goal is not to just score 280 every time, but to have that moment that we're looking for, that we've been praying about, that we understand, like, oh, this is it. This is it. This is my chance that I get to say, hey, I want you to know, Johnny, that I'm praying for you. And I don't take that lightly. I mean it. Because proximity means that I am there. And I'm not just there for that event, but I'm there for the event. The one that has that opportunity to change lives, right? Let's go on to the next one. My presence. All right, so this is huge. And I think this is, they all kind of co-mingle with each other, all right? Because without one, you don't have this working. So with proximity, you also need to be present. And what I mean by that is, like, how weird would it be for me to just be up here going, okay, God loves you. I hope you're doing good. Oh, do you see that Facebook post? It doesn't work well, does it? In fact, some of you are like, why did he have his phone out? What's wrong with him? Because I haven't been paying attention all morning. Why did he do that? Do you know your presence matters? It doesn't matter whether they are present. It matters that you're present. Do you get that? Because what do you control? You control yourself, right? So you sit with, you share with, you laugh with, you learn from, you care deeply for the real people across the table. The real people in the lane that you're bowling with. The real people that you like. For me, I love to get coffee. That's my thing. I love to go to coffee shops. I found a new one thanks to Tate. Tate Johnson, I don't know where you're at, but I thank you, Tate, for showing me Yellowbird. And like, not just Yellowbird as great coffee, but I also want to go there because I want to get to know the people that are making my coffee. I want to get to know the regulars that sit there, and I want to get to know them and love on them and hear their stories and be a part of them. Some of you guys have regular places you go, right? Whether that's work, whether that's a restaurant that you go to, whether that's home, and there's people lost in your home. Guess what you have as an opportunity? To be in their presence and go, let me sit with them. Let me hear their stories. Let me be there with them. Do you know why this is important? Because we are created in the image of God, right? God knows everything about you. How many hairs on your head? How many you've lost in the recent years? Right? He knows everything about you. He created you. That is so intimate. And in that, we are called to be in that image with other people. So when we sit at the table with somebody, guess who we represent? We represent Jesus Christ. We represent God, His image. And God is not distracted. He's there. Hanging on every word you're saying. And not just hanging on every word, but going, okay, how do I bring peace in this moment? How do I bring understanding in this moment? How am I there in this moment? And it's not just to have an argument. It's to love. Let me tell you this. I would say during the early 80s and 90s, the idea of evangelism was being able to yell louder than the person next to you about what's right and wrong. Being able to have this fully understood and having a doctorate in it or not, right? And being able to go, I can prove it. The church was real. God is real. And I have a case for Christ. Anybody read that book? Not a bad book. I read it, right? And it's good to have those things locked and loaded, and you went after them, right? This is, I want to tell you, listen, people are not looking for that kind of relationship with you. They're looking for a sincere, want to see you lived it out authentically. They want to see it be real amongst you and go, hey, are you willing to go the extra mile with me? And they're not necessarily asking for it, but the moment you show it, something has changed there in that relationship. That your presence was the presence of God being there with them. Right? It makes it very purposeful. Let's go to the next one. Presumption. This is so tough. Right? We come with our judgments. We come with ideologies already of somebody, right? If I had face tattoos, I wouldn't be up here. Would I? You know, some of you don't care. I would not be up here. And it's not against anybody here. It's just hard to see that as somebody that goes, okay, they love God, right? Why would they do that to your face? Why would you do these things? Like, it's easy to go and put that within a character or put that judgment there and go, okay, they don't know who God is. They're living a horrible life. Like, it's easy to just in the back of your mind, and it comes out in our actions. Love doesn't begin at a point of differentiating what there is to hate. You understand that? I don't come ready to go, okay, I love you, but these things I can't stand. Right? Okay, my grandma Shirley, I love her to death. She's no longer with us. I love her. She was just, she was a God-fearing woman, right? She couldn't stand me having a beard, right? And this was like teenage years and college years. She'd come up to my face, grab my face, and go, "Oh, where's that face? I missed the face. God doesn't want you to have that face hair." It's just who she was. It's how she was raised, right? And also, I'd walk in with my hat on. I loved wearing a hat. I still love wearing a hat. If I can wear a hat anywhere, I would wear a hat. I'd be wearing a hat right now, but it's not appropriate, right? There. Right? But I got a hat on, and you know, oh, God doesn't want, he wants to see your beautiful head of hair. He loves that hair. Get that hat off, right? My grandma had the best intentions in that moment. Nothing wrong with that. But with that, love comes with conditions. And we immediately come sometimes into a relationship that we instantly hear like, okay, they're going through that. Psh, judgment. I mean, there's not a surprise that they're in this situation. They're making horrible choices. Look at them. I get, like, you could go to the mall and go, yeah, they're going to hell. It's easy to laugh about, right? I heard Walmart. Right? Church. This is so important. And such an early lesson for us to understand as a kid. I think it was easier as a kid because we didn't see those things as clearly as we see as adults. I didn't know Jimmy was poor. I just knew Jimmy as my friend. I didn't know Jimmy had divorced parents. I just knew Jimmy as a friend that I got to throw the ball with. Imagine walking with Jesus Christ through Walmart. And him hearing everything that you say silently in your head about somebody. And him going, I created that person. I died for that person. Man, it needs to change our perception. I think within us, we need to understand, we need to have that Saul to Paul moment where he knocks us off our horse and we don't judge the way that we are conditioned to judge in many ways. That we don't look at the people through our own selfish desire of eyes and perceive what is right and what is wrong, but we look at people the way Christ has loved us. If we get more in tune with him, this is the good news. I am an ugly human being, but the only thing that makes me good and good, holy, is Jesus Christ in my life. He has made me holy. I want you to know there have been many a jokes in my head that I could have said and could have done, and I know God has stopped me and changed me, and I like it's just developed me into a better person because I want to glorify him in all my actions. And that also means he's got to change how I perceive people when I walk up to them. And the hate that resides there can no longer reside there. If I am filled with the good news needs to be oozing out of me. And when I come up to people, I don't see them for what I would have perceived them, but I perceive them and see them through the love of God. It's not easy. It's a work. It's a job. And guess what? We're all, I believe, doctorates in the Holy Spirit. We're all doctorates in Scripture. I think we know it, but this is how we start to actually live it. Can you imagine having a doctor that has never practiced any of his stuff? He just continues to get an education in it? Listen, we've got to stop just getting our education. We've got to live the good news out. We got to be the good news to this world. We got to just not just be a billboard of a shirt on us. We talked about that. Like, I can't just have a seek Jesus. I'm calling you out again, Natalie. A Seek Jesus sweatshirt and go, I hope that gets people saved and comes to Jesus Christ. No, there's got to be so much more. Actually, seek Jesus when you walk through the halls and you see somebody, you go, man, they need prayer today. They need God's love today. They need to know that I'm here for them. While they're being picked on, whether they're the bullies, they need friends that are believers in Jesus Christ and doesn't approach them with any kind of hate, but approaches them with love. Let's see that fourth one. This is huge. What are we called to be? Peacemakers. Can you imagine? Oh, man. This is the worst case scenario, but I think it's easy for me to understand, and it's not because my parents did this, but can you imagine being a kid of child of divorce and having to manage two sides there coming at you, right? And being the peacemaker between the two. Do you know, We have this news. We have this message of hope, right? It gives us, it's why we're here this morning. That's my hope, that you're here because you've heard the good news, or you're hearing maybe the good news for the first time. Jesus Christ loves you. And you can't stop it, you can't avoid it, you can't get run away as much as you can. You can reject it, but guess what continues to love you? Jesus Christ. Right? It's always going to be there. Whether you believe it or not, that's what's cool about it, right? We believe that. And this is what we are called to do. We are called to go out and make disciples in this world, right? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Like, that's our charge in this world. This is what makes us, I want you to know, like, we did this a couple weeks ago. You remember, we baptized two people, right? Ben and Natalie. Right? And then we did that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now they are not just charged to go, hey, we are part of this family. I want you guys to love me in this way. But they are also charged to go, hey, you're called to go out and make disciples. And we come alongside of them and go, Natalie, Ben, what are you doing? Your school, I guarantee, anybody see, have you guys started school? Yeah? Have you seen a fight yet? Listen, we live in a broken world, right? What are we called to be in those moments? The peacemakers of that. The ones that come in and go, okay, listen, let's figure out a way better than this, right? I'm picking on school students. Guess what, adults? This happens in the workforce. It's just, you don't see them actually throwing punches most of the time, right? But you hear them talk bad about each other. You probably have a complaint about the boss. Or you're the boss that everybody complains about. What is your job in those moments? To participate in that? To sit idly by and let it happen? Man, if Jesus Christ has changed your life, right, and we do believe that, right, and he's made me what I am today, I'm a different human being, guess what? He calls us out onto this ledge. There's going to be storms, but I know that my God is in charge of those storms. I understand that. I believe that. Even when I start to sink in that storm, guess what he does? He reaches down and pulls me out of that water and goes, I got you. Even though you had little of faith, I still got you. Guess what? God still has you, and you are called to go out and step into these storms and go, okay, I'm going to bring peace here. Everything that I have learned, the wisdom of Proverbs, I'm going to use it. God has put this in me. I've ate this scripture. I infused it in part of me. Guess what? We are called to be good newsers out into this world that doesn't believe in the news that you have, doesn't want that news, but man, once they see it, once they feel it, they start desiring it more and they start to test it more. Listen, these four things are the attributes of what it looks like to be a good newser out in this world. You need to be out there. You need to be near them. Bless you. You need to be part of their lives, invested in them. Right? You need to be bringing peace and love and get rid of the judgment. Right? These are the things in which God has called us to be. Church, stand with me. The challenge this week, hopefully you've already been starting to work on the garden of life and understanding, hey, this person, they need to know who God is. I'm going to plant this seed and not just go and drop the word of God in front of them and go, okay, I hope they get it and they start to grow. You actually invest and you start with prayer. Lift them up daily. Right? Let them know, hey, God, if there's a way for me to bring the gospel to them, if there's a way of word that I can show them, if there's an action in which I can be, show me so I can be that. Help me till this garden. Help me get the rocks out of there. Help me get rid of all the weeds that can be there. Let me be the investment in how you were invested in me. Right? So, this week, too, I just gave you the skills to do this, to be the good newser out in this world. My charge is this, as a church, when you eat with somebody, when you're just coming into close contact with a regular person that you have close contact with, start becoming the good news in their life. Start becoming the person that they're like, I'm so excited to see you today. Because it will change the more you invest in them, more that you're in their presence, the more peace you bring, the more God that you show them. Be good newsers this week. You're dismissed.